You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards and Keith Alexander here this Saturday evening, December the 9th. And let's start this show off with a song. Let's hit it, Maestro. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe I may have said it last year, but I'll say it again. Say what you will about Phil Spector, he was a man ahead of his time. In light of all of the things going on today.
We had no idea that he'd be normal sometime in the future.
I had to play that. You know, we're going to start easing into playing some more Christmas songs over the course of the next couple of weeks. We're really going to go heavy on some Christmas songs. I do love that song by the Ronettes. And to his everlasting and eternal credit, Phil Spector was a musical genius. He created what they call the Wall of Sound, of course, and he explained that he was looking for a sound that was so strong that even if the song itself wasn't good, the music would carry the record. And he said it was a case of augmenting, fitting all these instruments together like a jigsaw. He included an array of orchestral instruments, string, woodwind, brass, and percussion not previously associated with youth-oriented pop music, characterizing his methods as a, quote, Wagnerian approach to rock and roll, little symphonies for the kids. I mean, what's he in jail for now, Keith? I mean,
being a good Democrat.
But I do like his music. I'll tell you that. I liked his music, and I like that song. And
that's from his famous 1963 Christmas album.
Didn't he lock Ronnie up in a cage or something?
Well, you know, who knows? What happened? You know, it could be another set of false accusations like the Duke lacrosse hoax. Who knows?
Now, what's he in jail for, though? Who did he supposedly kill? He killed some, allegedly, or he was found guilty of something.
Yeah, look, trying to keep up with the moral shortcomings of liberals is a full-time occupation that I don't have time for.
All right. Well, anyway, we're actually going to talk more about all of this vis-a-vis the Roy Moore campaign. We're going to chime in. Have a little more. This is our last show before Roy Moore becomes a member of the United States Senate, or is at least elected to the United States Senate. We'll see what happens
boy,
after that.
You think the top won't pop out of the can when that happens? Can you imagine what they're going to do up at the Washington Post and the New York Times when he gets in? They will go into their last ditch, full court press mode to get him out somehow. I don't know how, but it's they cannot. They cannot abide living with the people of Red State America.
We're going to talk all the news that is news pertaining to the Roy Moore campaign. We're going to get to in the second hour, and we're going to give you some more reasons to be cheerful now. We're getting into the vortex before Christmas, and newly minted TPC contributor Jack Ryan, and what an addition he's going to be. He made his debut last week, officially, I guess you could say. He's going to be back on in the third hour tonight. Eddie the Bombardier Miller back with us next week. He just ran a big marathon last week, another 26.2 miler under his belt. Yes, indeed. Congratulations, Eddie.
He's still in an oxygen tank.
He's going to be back next week. And anyway, much more to come tonight. It's going to be a busy show, as they all are. But the first hour, we're going to do something that I hadn't planned on doing earlier in the week. I had forgotten, in fact, that I had did this at all, but earlier this year, Warner Brothers contacted me to reprise a role I was going to have a couple of years ago on a popular European television show until most of that got left on the cutting room floor, but I was back, and I came to terms with Warner Brothers. They asked me to come back on this show. We taped our parts in the spring in Nashville, and I'd forgotten I did it. And then it aired this week on the biggest, most watched television network in Sweden. And I think it goes out throughout all of Scandinavia. And I started getting tagged on Twitter by people who had watched it, good, bad, and indifferent comments. Mostly good, though, if you can believe it, and you should believe it. And
it's apparently the Swedish equivalent of NPR. Is that right?
Well, PBS, because it's television, not radio. But it's sort of like PBS in that it's a nationally run television station. But unlike PBS, people over there actually watch it. And that's why it's the most popular or most watched television network in Sweden, the biggest network in Sweden. And so this is a show about this woman, Jill Johnson. And back in the late 90s, she was like the Swedish equivalent of Britney Spears or maybe a Taylor Swift. She was this big Pop-Tart. And now she's in her early 40s, and she's still out touring. I mean, she still has sold-out stadium shows in Northern Europe. Anyway, so it's her show. She comes over to Nashville. She introduces her fans to country music and different things, different topics. And so we're going to actually play for you the audio of that video. It aired. You can actually watch it. We put it up on our website. Sam says it's bad country music. She doesn't get it, get the right tunes. But we're going to actually play the audio from what aired over there on television during this hour in the political cesspool. And I'm going to take you behind the scenes on what that experience was like. But just to tell you very briefly, when they contacted me, they wanted to come down to Memphis. And we'd actually turned down a whole lot of offers to do this over the course of the last couple of years. I know the CBS Evening News wanted to come and, like, stay in my house and follow us around town throughout a week in the lives of the cesspool crew. I shot that down. Look, you're not coming in my house, folks. I'm not going to let the enemy into the sanctuary. And we had turned down a cut. There was another one that came up this year that wanted to come down to Memphis and shadow us and do a TV show on us. And we shot that down. This one wanted to come to Memphis. I said, listen, you're not coming to Memphis. I'll do the show, but we're going to do it in Nashville if you want to do it. And then they said, okay, well, they went back and forth. Look, we're the political cesspool, and there's only one of us. So if they want an authentic voice in mainstream media, there's not anywhere else to go on this continent except for us from the pro-white point of view, and, of course, Sam Bushman. So I agreed to do it, and I got to tell you, Warner Brothers, we actually have a slight history with Warner Brothers. If anybody remembers, a few years ago, Warner Brothers reached out to us, and Warner Brothers produces this show or underwrites it. The buck stops with Warner Brothers. This is a Warner Brothers International production. And a few years ago, Warner Brothers contacted me. They were re-releasing the movie Gods and Generals, a movie we love. We talk about it every Confederate History Month. It is very pro-South war about a pro-South movie about the war between the states. Robert Duvall as Robert E. Lee, Stephen Lang, Stonewall Jackson, great movie. So they contacted us. They said, you know, will you help us promote the re-release? That this is a major movie studio asking the political cesspool years ago to help them promote the re-release of this movie. They sent us a bunch of copies to give away, and we had a good time doing that. Well, and this is also Warner Brothers, and they've done this show. So this is my second time in three seasons to be on this show, although this time I actually got what I was promised. And I'm going to take you behind the scenes and tell you all about this experience, what it was like. We're going to let you hear
after these words from our sponsor.
The audio, and we're going to tell you what the Swedish press had to say about it. All coming up. Stay tuned.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of this thing. We got to speed up. We took our time too much in that first segment. So April 25th was actually the day I traveled up to tape my parts for this TV show, Jill's Veranda. And it aired on Wednesday night. So what is that? That's why I like radio. I can get on the radio live. You can hear my thoughts in real time. I taped this TV show in April. I forget I even do it because it takes so long for it to actually come on TV. It aired this week. What is that? 9 months? 9 months. The media in Sweden was absolutely apoplectic over this appearance. We're going to get to that. Just a little more about the show, though. This is what I was stabbing at in the last segment. We'll be a little more disciplined here going forward. Jill's Veranda is a documentary series that celebrates country music. Country artist Jill Johnson takes us to Nashville, the home of country music. In the different episodes, Jill on the show will be guested by famous people. And I guess that was me that episode. I don't know. The song serves as... Well, they say they're going to highlight a song, blah, 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 offers Sweden a look at Nashville, the Nashville of today. The network that it airs on, this is also what we're stabbing at, a Swedish SVT is the network, the Swedish national public TV broadcaster, modeled after the BBC. It is the most watched television network in Sweden. So basically, Keith has watched this. We have the video up on our website, video up on my Twitter. Keith's watched it. We're going to let him break it down and offer you some teachable moments. But what I wanted to do with this particular interview was not come in too hot. I thought I was, in fact, quite mild and had to treat these women almost childlike. I didn't want the interview to be too aggressive with the setting of it being two women and you also being broadcast in the most cucked white country in the world. We wanted it to be palatable. The answers to be palatable without compromising any of our heartfelt positions, of course. And it was somewhat difficult to give my best in this particular interview because the line of questioning provided by Jill's sidekick in this scene was so remarkably bad. I think one question asked was, how do we go about raising the white birth rate? How do you answer that?
I mean, if you don't know that, you don't, you know.
And it's like I said with regard to the Roy Moore thing, especially with regard to modern-day feminists, which these two women claim to be. Roy Moore dating an 18-year-old in the 1950s in a better time, in a more wholesome, healthy society, an 18-year-old woman was, in fact, that, a woman ready to raise a family. Now, men and women alike are children the day they're born, and especially in the case of liberals, they're children all the way until the day they die. And I'm going to get to some of the comments. Again, started getting flooded with comments on Twitter. That's how I knew this thing had finally aired. Then I found it and watched it. You watched it before we started, Keith. We're going to play it for everybody in the next segment. They'll at least be able to hear it, if not see it. What was your takeaways from what you saw?
Well, it's like Ned and the Third Reader. They ask you such, silly questions. And, you know, it basically floors you that they don't have elementary understanding that, for example, all that we want are equal rights. What is wrong with wanting to maintain the percentage of white people in the world that are there now? Is that somehow an invalid or a racist notion? It's only a racist notion if you think that it is proper and normal that white people fade from the face of the earth and become intermingled with all other races. I don't think anybody would recommend that to any other race than whites, but they basically think that there's something horribly wrong with the idea of maintaining the white birth rate percentage of people on the face of the earth. You know, it's gone down from 90% in America in 1960 to around 62% today. So there's obviously a phenomenon going on, cause for alarm, that the white population of the United States and of Europe is shrinking. So why would that, you know, if any other group, if the Chinese said we want China to remain Chinese, or the Japanese said we want Japan to remain Japanese, that would be very uncontroversial. Why are we held to a different standard? It's just that they take articles of liberal dogma so much to heart that it's just like second nature to them. And you have to go beyond those first, you know, that instinctive liberal propagandizing that they've internalized. And, you know, it's kind of astounding when you think that there are people that actually think that way, white people that think that way, actually.
The first tip that I had that this thing had aired, I was a negative comment. That was the first, but one of the very few that I received, overwhelmingly, the people who actually watched this thing in Sweden and took the time to find me and contact me were very much supportive of it, of the appearance, as watered down as my appearance was. But this was the first comment that I received. Watching Jill's Veranda and the frightening and utterly ridiculous statements from James Edwards. He makes me wonder where humanity went wrong. That was the first one. But here were some others. Now, I'm only going to read comments, a sampling of comments that came in from Swedish viewers of this television program that have never before been in contact with the political cesspool. And here's what I've got. That was a great performance by you, sir. A big part of the regular Swedish audience will be disgusted by the complete arrogance displayed by these pop stars gleefully thinking that they got you. Another comment. That was a great performance. What a sad couple of middle-aged feminist women trying to defame the great Mr. Edwards. I feel like I have to apologize for Sweden having produced these hive-minded, I can't say that word. We're sorry. All the best to you, sir. Another. Just watch the episode here in Sweden. What you said is not spoken here. The girls didn't know what to say. Refreshing. One person wrote that she could actually see the moment where the star of the show fell in love. Another, liked your interview. You have a really nice impression and explained completely sensible positions, something that will reach a huge audience in the millions here in Sweden. Well done. Also, Sweden was triggered. Great performance indeed, James, even after all the editing. They are so pathetic, those two, and after you see their disguise, the way they try to show themselves as having the more moral high ground, the more disgusting they become. I think their hearts almost stopped when James Edwards referred to feminism as a culture of death. We're going to play the whole thing in just a second. As always, James, you did a great job representing us all, and they did what they do best, parroting the PC narrative without a single unique thought. I think that the women were truly shocked that a man didn't act like the Swedish men do and didn't start to apologize and retreat rhetorically. You were great. Everything you said was quite sound and wholesome. Chad status confirmed. Well done, Mr. Edwards. Important for the Swedish viewers to see that these opinions exist, especially that there are people who can argue for them. Most Swedes are so brainwashed with liberal extremism they can no longer think straight. I actually didn't know that I pulled this many. There's a lot more, but it's I guess repetitive. But they are mostly, listen, 8 out of 10 were positive along those lines, and that's from people coming in unsolicited. We picked up a whole lot of Swedish followers on Twitter this week, and I will tell you this. You remember, of course, the media feeding frenzy on TPC last year vis-a-vis the Trump campaign. We were covered by everybody throughout the whole year. Washington Post, New York Times, the television networks, everybody was covering TPC during the Trump campaign. I got more feedback, more genuine feedback from viewers of this show than I did any one single report that we were featured in last year, and that includes the very biggest of the media outlets here in America. Of course, collectively, we got more coverage and more feedback last year, but we got more feedback from this one show in Sweden than any one report or news story about us last year. I thought that was pretty interesting, Keith.
Well, you're obviously right that the Swedish people do tune in to this particular channel or network, and they are not used to hearing anything like race realism in their own nation. It apparently hit them like a bucket of ice water in the face.
All right, we're going to go very quick to a break. We're going to listen to this, and Keith's going to provide you with some more teachable moments, and I will tell you about what it was like behind the scenes talking with these people in the cast and crew off camera, and also why that particular set was chosen for the taping. Yeah, that's all coming up. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's kosher-tified.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support.
go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, we're about to play this segment. Now, you're going to hear the audio of the video, and we had to cut out some parts of it. For instance, after I welcome the stars to the South, as you'll hear, it goes to a cut scene in the television show where it has a picture of me, actually a very good picture of me, so I'm thankful they at least did that much. But next to me, they try to poison the viewers, poison their minds before I can actually say anything on the television show. It has a picture of me. It says that I'm the founder of the political cesspool, leader of the alt-right, and we regularly interview Klansmen and Nazis on the show.
And let me ask you, along with people in the audience, how many Klansmen and Nazis have we interviewed on this show? I don't think none, as far as I know, none currently. David Duke has been on the show, but he was a Klansman more recently than 1980. So, you know, my goodness, you know, so that's a patent lie right there.
Well, and it has the ominous music. So, again, they try to poison the minds before I can say anything sensible. And that's a dirty trick in television. You expect that. But we're not media whores. And this is another reason why we turned down over 90% of our interview requests. And we've turned down the biggest. I mean, if we took every interview we had offered, well, we'd be everywhere. But it's just not worth it to me. I'm a purist, I guess you could say. And I normally only do live TV or radio. We finally did do, well, when we do it right. We did it with Pulitzer Prize winner Serge Kovaleski earlier this year when I finally ended my impasse with the print media. We went to the New York Times. We did Serge. But we did this because I thought, hey, you know, if it bombed, it's in Sweden. Nobody knows about it anyway. It's risk versus reward. And it went off okay. Let's play it.
So this is it. Hey there. How are you?
Welcome to the South.
Thank you.
Great to have you back. Good luck with the show. I heard it's a big hit.
Oh, it is.
How are you?
Nice
to meet you,
nice
James
to
Edwards.
Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
Let's hit inside.
Yeah, all right, let's go.
Oh, gosh. Is that a train? Hell. Oh, yeah. I guess so.
I don't think that blacks are an inferior race. But it is scientifically proven that they have a lower IQ score than whites, and there are other races that whites themselves have a lower IQ than, and it is proven that the most successful and desirable societies have been built by those of European descent, and that's just a matter of fact.
I just want to check if you recognize this quote I read in Political Cesspool Statement of Principles.
I like somebody who does their research.
Yeah, we do the research. But I just want to quote you and ask your opinion about this. You say, we wish to revive the white birth rate above replacement level fertility and beyond to grow the percentage of whites in the world relative to other races.
Absolutely.
How do you think that makes women feel?
Well, I hope it would make it. Do you not want whites to survive? Because basically all that's saying is that I want whites to reach replacement level fertility so that we can continue to exist.
But I mean, how do you go about that to increase it?
Well, we have more children.
Okay.
that's the only way to do it. And in Russia, for instance, they have even given families the day off with a stipend to encourage
to encourage the
building of families.
I see.
You can call it breeding if you want to. What would you call it?
But it sounds a bit.
All right, well, go tell that to people in sub-Saharan Africa who are having 10, 20 children. Would you discourage their breeding, as you call it?
I would suggest that they got more support in birth control and knowledge about how this biological thing works.
Well, good luck with that.
But whatever happens, it's children coming to the planet.
What about
them? Yeah, I mean, if there are children of mixed relations, they're still children of this planet.
Could
they possibly be a problem?
What ethnic identity, what culture does that child identify with? Is it going to be the white culture, or is it going to be the black culture?
or they grow up and define themselves?
Well, it doesn't normally work that way. In fact, I think a lot of some studies have proven that there is identity crises in children of mixed race, and that's just a fact. I want to maintain the diversity of mankind. I think the best way to do that is to maintain our separateness.
I mean, we are Swedish, and we're women.
Sure.
And Sweden happens to be one of the most equal and multicultural countries on Earth. So how do you feel about a society like ours?
How do you feel about it? Well, I'll tell you about it.
Do you have, like, concerns for
I have a great respect. Well, you should have a lot of concerns about what's happening in Sweden.
Why?
Well,
I'll tell you.
Number one, I do have a great respect for the Scandinavian people. You descended from the Vikings. That is a glorious and triumphant history that everybody should be proud of that comes from that part of the world. But let's talk about Sweden. Is multiculturalism enriching Sweden? Sweden is number two. Number two on the global list of rape countries, 53.
But do you know how many of those rapes are done by white men in their families at home?
All right. Yeah. Well, according to one of your own court of appeals, 85% are committed by first or second generation immigrants. So
that's
how
not
many?
True.
Well, that's one of your universities commission that study, so perhaps you should take it up with them. But I guess we could all pick and choose. I guess we could all pick and choose which studies we're going to believe, can't we? But
so you have a family, you have children.
I do. I have a 7-year-old daughter. I have a 2-year-old son.
So could there be a chance where your daughter, fall in love with a person that is not white? What will you do?
I'm going to raise my children to believe exactly how I believe.
Were you raised that way?
Absolutely.
So then you're probably against feminism, I guess.
I think it's very unnatural.
What is your view of feminism? How do you define
it? Well, it's just another manifestation of the culture of death. I mean, if you're talking about...
The culture of what? Sorry, I didn't hear.
The culture of death.
The culture of death?
Something that would encourage people not to reproduce.
Is feminism about not reproducing? No.
Really?
Well, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as the
equal
rights.
Man?
No two people are equal. No two people are capable of doing the same things. I mean, neither of us could go out and be a linebacker for an NFL team. There's just a lot of things that people can do and that others can't do. But races are not equal and sexes are not equal.
Okay.
You'll never have the strength that a man has. And a man will never have the ability to bring life into this world like women have. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a woman's natural abilities and attributes are best suited in an office cubicle. I think they are best suited in raising children.
Yeah.
So would it be normal to you to stay home with your
Absolutely not.
Children?
I mean, just like it wouldn't have been natural for our ancient ancestors for you to go out and do the hunting.
So,
well, I
have a... Yes, women can go out.
Evolution changes things.
Well, but we'll see how many more billions of years we have to survive before men have a womb.
Yeah, but I mean, my friends,
obviously,
they have a
that
hunting license nowadays.
But we have to agree to disagree, probably.
Okay, so there's a little more to it than that. There's some more cut scenes, but that's the gist of it. So again, very much kid gloves. I pulled my punches. I tried to be polite, but also firm. And just in response to that, because I had to take into account the audience that would be seeing this. And if I come across as abrasive and very confrontational and aggressive with these two women, it was just going to fall flat. But just for me, really handling this very mildly, one of the biggest newspapers in Sweden, this is an excerpt from an article that appeared in a Swedish daily newspaper. I don't know if it's one of their national newspapers or just one of their newspapers that services one of their major cities, but the writer, we think the press here in America is bad. At least they still pretend. I mean, we know that they're biased, but they pretend to be objective. Here, they don't even hide it. This actually made the print. The reporter wrote, quote, "I had to take a moment and calm down before I could write anything other than angry comments about that vile James Edwards." I mean, if me coming across as mild-mannered as I did in that interview, she should see me when we really let loose. Right, Keith?
I'm telling you, man, I don't think you're going to be on that person's Christmas card list this year. But can you imagine these people that are so... the so-called mavens of tolerance and celebrators of diversity, they encounter true diversity of opinion, and they encounter someone with a different outlook, and they just fly off the rails. They just cannot handle it. They're sputtering mad, apparently, like this guy.
Yeah, or woman, I think it, as I think it was. But also, there was another Swedish publication that said, I was disconnected from reality. I operate in a reality that doesn't exist.
Well, turn it back on them. I thought you were really on a good point that gender equality is not consistent with normal Christian heterosexual monogamy. Women are hypergamous. Men are naturally polygamous. Women need to look up to the man in their life. If they don't look up to the man in their life, they either leave or they fall out of love with them. That is the lesson of Roger Devlin's excellent book, Sexual Utopian Power.
We're not going to carry this over into the second hour. Second hour, Roy Moore, final parting shots on the latest in his campaign before he goes to the Senate. But I will tell you about some of the exchanges we had off camera, and we'll do that right after this. Millions of people in Sweden saw this this week, folks. It's pretty big news over there. We'll be back.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, very quickly, wrapping up what it was like on this show. Again, seen by millions of people in Scandinavia. One more comment that came in on Twitter. A great performance, my good sir. Very calm and reasonable. Was laughing my blankety blank off through the whole thing. In the Swedish press, you were accused of having a worldview not rooted in real life. I actually just mentioned that. Which to me is the exact opposite of what you actually said. One of the things that stood out to me during that exchange was that one of the women said claimed that the majority of rapes in Sweden are committed by white men who are married with children. You talk about being disconnected from reality. I actually reached out to Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice a couple of weeks before I filmed this thing or went up to tape my scenes, and he provided me with that statistic that 85% of the rapes were committed by first or second-generation so-called immigrants. And that was actually, I said it was a university study. A university study did cite that, but it was actually one of the Swedish law enforcement authorities who provided the statistics. But now let's talk about the optics very quickly. This thing was filmed in a gas station. So,
in the most rural-looking gas station you've ever seen, it had unfinished cypress wood on the outside.
We were going to film it in a radio station, which would have been appropriate considering my... you know, profession, but they told me once I got up there they had switched it to a country store. Well, I guess that's a creative way of putting it. In the optics of that,
wanted it to look as hick as possible.
Every time I would say something, it would pan over to somebody who walked in off the set of Hee Haw, but that's okay. I mean, it is what it is. You get what you expect. But I will say this: the post production of it was typical. But I will say this for the crew of that show, and even for the stars, Jill and Lisa, very polite off camera. Yes, sir, Mr. Edwards this, no, sir that. The PA who handled me, Elsa was her name, the young lady, very accommodating, thoroughly accommodating. And this was a paid gig, and this was, you know, per diem and travel expenses and all the whole nine. They were great off camera, very professional. I can't fault any of the treatment that I received in that capacity. Now, what happens in the final product that you see on TV maybe is in other people's hands.
All the politeness is left on the cutting room floor.
I can remember I got up there a couple of hours before we were scheduled to tape, so they had rented some houses right on the banks of the Cumberland River. If you know where the Opryland Hotel is there in Nashville on Music Valley Drive, you go past the Opryland Hotel, and we had a lot of conferences there during the Council of Conservative Citizens years. You go around the bend from where the council used to have their conferences, and you go down a couple of miles, and there's these beautiful houses on the banks of the Cumberland River, and that's where the talent was staying. And so I got to go there and hang out with the crew before the show, and we just talked like old friends. And I even when I was on this show a couple of years ago, even though most of my stuff ended on the cutting room floor, and we spent a couple of days taping that particular year, and this time it was just an hour or so, but the crew was great. I mean, they were fantastic. These are all people from Sweden, and we got along fine. They rolled out the red carpet. I mean, they really did off the air, and whatever happened with the final product, who's to say. But we did get some ideas out there, and I can tell you this, a lot of people in Sweden saw it, and a lot of people in Sweden reached out, and we've added a lot of new fans from Sweden. But one more thing, talking about feminism and talking about the rapes and who's raping who in Sweden, this was also something I was tagged in immediately after that appearance on television. Not looking good for the Swedish feminist that interviewed you, so said the writer of this particular post. A Swedish woman was just gang raped by 20 people in the no-go zone in Sweden. At one point, she was placed on the stairs and sodomized and throated at the same time. Several migrant men are now in court as suspects, according to this report. So that's what's really going on in Sweden. I don't think husbands raping their wives is really the biggest problem that they face in that country.
Well, you know, if they are thinking that men having sex with their wives is rape, then they are feminists of the first water. Believe me, that whole society is beyond redemption if that's where they're going. And apparently that is. That's the only way that they could say that 85% of rapes, in other words, 85% of sexual relations are rapes in Sweden. It's a crazy mixed up world that they apparently live in over there, if you are to take them at their word.
Sam, is it possible to slide in this segment? Forgive me, folks, on live radio for talking to our producer slash owner slash good friend. Sam, can we play this Alexa clip very quickly, this segment? Do you think we can get that queued up? What happened here, ladies and gentlemen, Sam had a conversation with Alexa from, I guess that's Google. And this ties into the Amazon, Alexa. I got a kick out of this. He sent it to me earlier today. It's only a couple of minutes long, and it ties into what we're talking about with regards to feminism and why voices like the political cesspool, whether we're getting our voice out through the biggest television network in Sweden, although in a slightly impaired capacity, or on our own broadcast here, it's why we have to have voices of reason and sensibility. Listen to Sam's conversation with Alexa. Here we go.
I got a news report talking about the Echo devices, how they're pretty much racist. And so I thought I'd just check my Echo device and see what happens to me and see if it really is true. So let's try this and see if this turns out okay. Let's start out. Hey, Alexa, do Black Lives Matter?
Black lives and the Black Lives Matter movement absolutely matter. It's important to have conversations about equality and social justice.
Alexa, do white lives matter?
Everyone deserves to be treated with fairness and dignity.
Alexa, do all lives matter?
Everyone deserves to be treated with fairness and dignity.
So the all lives matter and the white lives matter are the same. The black lives matter seem to be different. Alexa, do Asian lives matter?
Everyone deserves to be treated with fairness and dignity.
Why is there a difference for black? Alexa, do fetuses' lives matter?
Sorry, I don't know that.
Hey, Alexa, do babies' lives matter?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Alexa, do police officers' lives matter?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Alexa, does life matter?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
All right, we're going to ask Alexa some more questions. Hey, Alexa, are you a feminist?
Are you dumb?
Interesting. Hey, Alexa, are you pro-abortion?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Hey, Alexa, are you pro-choice?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
A feminist that is not sure if she's pro-choice? How is that going to work? Hey, Alexa, are there two genders? That's good. Hey, Alexa, how many genders are there?
The two main categories of the gender spectrum, male and female, are called the gender binary, but there are many other categories that exist. Because gender identity is complex and personal, there is no definite way to say how many genders there are.
Alexa, didn't you just tell me there were two genders, male and female?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
There you go. Not too intelligent, so much for AI. Sounds like a propaganda tool, doesn't it?
All right, thank you, Sam. Keith, I thought that was a nice thing to kind of shoehorn in, considering that a decent part of my appearance on that Swedish TV show dealt with feminism and the insanity and the mental illness, the
utter idiocy that is liberal orthodoxy today is just mind-boggling.
But so again, this is why somebody has got to stand up for common sense. Somebody has got to stand up for basic, I mean, fundamental, elementary truths. And again, you heard that interview. Very difficult to really spread your wings and show all your feathers when you have to boil it down to just the very
most. It's like Ned in the Third Reader, you know. how do you increase the white birth rate? Well, you know, if you don't know that. My goodness, when did your parents talk to you about the birds and the bees? I guess you, you'd be like the person on Echo. Sorry, I don't know that. And if you don't know that, you don't know nothing, baby.
Okay. Well, anyway, we probably spent too much time, an hour of our valued time talking about that. But the reason, think about the indoctrination tool. And we are here in some capacity to combat that, and it did reach so many people. And what I thought was really most surprising about it is that we received more feedback from that one short, what was that, 10-minute appearance than any one single press story that we were featured in last year. So anyway, there you go. And you can follow it on Twitter. So big news out of the Roy Moore campaign. This we're going to be talking about in the second hour. Donald Trump down in Pensacola. We're going to talk about what he said. We're going to talk about 25 miles away from the Alabama border, about 50 miles away from Mobile, something like that. And Roy Moore keeps cranking out the hits. I mean, he said George Soros is going to hell this week. I mean, he's just been on a tear. The Southern Baptists, some of their
he's strong as Garrett Snuff, as they say down here in the South.
Leadership. Dwight McKissick is triggered again. Dwight McKissick was back needling me on Twitter this week. He's so upset that a Southern Baptist white man's actually going to win an office. Al Franken's out. We're going to talk about Me Tooism. We're going to talk about now 40 people in the Senate are supposedly going to have these charges leveled against them by the Washington Post. It's all coming up in the second hour. Stay tuned, folks.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.